your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Hi, I'm Rob West. That passage from Hebrews 13:5 reminds us that there are more important things than, well, things. Today we'll talk about the benefits of choosing contentment. Then we'll take your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, let me start by defining contentment. Contentment is an attitude that says, I will be satisfied with what God has given me. Unfortunately, the godly contentment we're talking about isn't a popular virtue in our materialistic culture. There's constant pressure from peers and the media to desire more things, better cars, cooler friends. The attitude that says, I deserve this, is so prevalent that we've given it a name. Entitlement. Parents usually scold their kids for having this attitude because it's really a form of selfishness. But it's not only kids who have this mindset, is it? So if an entitlement attitude is creeping in at your house, what do you do? Well, here's some wisdom from Moody Church theologian Harry Ironside. We would worry less if we praised more. Thanksgiving is the enemy of discontent and dissatisfaction. Cultivate that attitude of gratitude, and you'll find it easier to be content. If someone, including you, starts complaining, stop a moment and think about what you're thankful for instead. You know, the Bible tells us about the benefits of being content. For the Apostle Paul, being content meant having the ability to weather all of life's storms without fear or worry. In Philippians 4:11, Paul writes, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Well, what's Paul's secret for being content in all circumstances? How does he do that? He finishes the passage in Philippians by saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Ultimately, it's Jesus who provides the strength to be at peace in all circumstances. Like Paul, you and I can choose to be content because as Christ followers, our position in Christ never changes. Circumstances ebb and flow like the stock market, but who we are in Christ never budges one bit. We're saved by grace and our eternal future is secure. This can and should change our perspective on everyday life. Proverbs 19:23 puts it another way. The fear of the Lord leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched by trouble. Fear in this case means trust, honor, awe. We trust, obey, and respect the Lord because He is our Master, our Holy Lord. This trust leads to life or flourishing. It's like spiritual confidence. Then, as a result of fearing the Lord, the verse says, one rests content, untouched by trouble. That doesn't mean we won't face trouble. I think it means trouble can't destroy us spiritually. So we can choose to be content. Another way to understand the choice to be content or not is to understand what the opposite looks like. The opposite of contentment is to be dissatisfied, disappointed, and unhappy. It's actually worse than that. Proverbs 27:20 says, death and destruction are never satisfied. So being discontented is right down there with death and destruction, not something you want in your life. In Ecclesiastes 5:10, we see another problem with discontent, a lack of meaning. Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This, too, is meaningless. If what you make or what you have is all that matters, then you can never really be content, and you're courting death and destruction in your heart. The Bible confirms that in God's economy, material things are meaningless by themselves. You can be grateful for what God has provided now, knowing that He has a good plan for you both now and in the future. So as Philippians 4:19 teaches, you can let your heart be filled with gratitude because the Lord will supply every need of yours according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Ultimately, our choice to be content rests in our understanding of three things. God is faithful, we can have peace through Christ, and our circumstances don't control us. Because we have the power of the Holy Spirit to face life with gratitude and grace. what God has for us is so much better than what we can imagine for ourselves. When we realize this, buying and keeping things doesn't seem so appealing anymore. We can choose, like the Apostle Paul, to be content in all circumstances. All right, your calls are next. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. If you ask a child what they love about summer, one response you'll get is that summer means no more school. After months of being in a classroom, they're finally able to relax, no homework looming over them. As Christians, we have rest to look forward to as well. It's not the summer break that our kids enjoy, though that can be nice. It's the eternal rest that Christ offers to us in heaven. In Hebrews 4, we read, "Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest." Many of us may think that if we want to rest, we've got to earn it. We must work hard. God's Word teaches that if we want rest, all we have to do is come to Jesus in faith. Get daily encouragement from God's Word with Anchor Devotional. Try it out at getanchor.com.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
If you are engaging in sexual sin, today is the day to repent. As it was corrupt in Judah, let's be honest, the same things are happening today. The pornography addiction amongst the body of Christ is through the roof. And by and large, many in the church are not discussing these things too often because many of the people who are entrusted with the responsibility to do so, they're bound themselves.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance Program. More information is available at LitePointPortfolios.com.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. It's time for your calls and questions as we begin a new week. We'd love to dive into whatever you're thinking about financially. The number to call with lines open today is 800-525-7000. That's right. You can call right now with some lines open, 800-525-7000, whether you're thinking your spending plan or maybe it's your debt repayment. Perhaps you want to be a little bit more efficient and strategic with your giving, your generosity, or maybe it's that long-term savings account, your investments, and the volatility you've experienced. You're uncertain how to proceed from here. Whatever it might be today, financially speaking, we'd love to tackle your question. Our promise to you to be hopeful and encouraging and to look at your question through a biblical worldview, applying the principles and passages, the big themes that we see in Scripture related to our practical money management decisions, starting with our hearts, recognizing everything flows from our belief system. So where are we at with regard to our hearts? Have we adopted an eternal perspective of money we see found in Scripture? Or are we struggling with a temporal approach, making money an end as opposed to a means to an end? Well, once we've got our heart rights, then we
heart's right, then we apply principles we see in Scripture, and ultimately we can make practical decisions daily with regard to our role as stewards of managing God's money. That's what we want to help you do here on this program. And again, lines are open at 800-525-7000. Let's dive in. A first-time caller, CJ, is calling from Texas. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Thanks so much for your ministry.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
We have a home mortgage that we would like to pay off. We've been working on it, and we have about $10,000 remaining.
Okay.
But due to a previous situation when my mother passed away, we really would like to avoid probate, if it's at all possible.
Sure.
Should, you know, when we pass away and have our beneficiaries in line. And so some of my questions would include, what steps do I have in making that final payment? Is there anything I need to know to avoid? And when they give us the deed, then is there anything that can be asked to be put on that would allow us to avoid probate? And then also knowing that FedNow is releasing July 1st, I had a sense of urgency that maybe we need to do it before then. Just didn't know if you had any thoughts about that.
Yeah, very good. Well, let me work my way through these. And if we have any other questions that arise, CJ, don't hesitate to bring them up. First of all, congratulations. That's exciting that you all are that close to having this mortgage completely paid off. I love that idea. And I don't think you'll ever regret that decision to accelerate your mortgage payoff. In terms of steps to take before making that final payment, I mean, typically you would want to just get a payoff quote from your mortgage servicer. The amount you actually owe may not be exactly the same as your regular monthly payment. So by getting that quote from them as you get a little bit closer to making that final payment, then you'll know you're paying exactly what is remaining. And then you'll just want to make sure you get that lien lifted from the deed. They will send you showing that that mortgage has been fully satisfied and that lien has been lifted. And that will be a document that you'll want to hang on to in a fireproof safe and just have that accessible in the future. But it's really not a whole lot to that as long as you take those steps. In terms of the efficient transfer of this property to your heirs, there's a couple of options here. The most cost-effective is going to be a TOD, a transfer on death deed, which is available in the state of Texas. So that is possible. And essentially what would happen is that would allow your property to pass to the heir of choice or heirs outside of probate. And you mentioned probate being costly and time-consuming. It wasn't perhaps a good experience in your mom's case, and so you'd like to avoid that. I would agree with that. TOD, if it's available and it happens to be for you, is a really simple way to do that. Your heirs would still get the stepped-up basis, which means their cost basis on the property would be the market value of the property as of the date of death. So, for instance, if they turned around and sold it right away, they probably wouldn't have any capital gains, as opposed to you just conveying it to them prior to death through a quitclaim deed or something like that. They would retain your original cost basis or purchase price, and so they would likely owe some capital gains tax when they sold it. In terms of how you go about that, I mean, basically, you could get a real estate attorney to help you navigate this process. Your state will have a state-specific deed form. You'll get that specific form that uses the language that needs to be used in your state, or again, the actual form, and you'd have to check on that. You'd determine your beneficiaries, put their full name in there. You're going to want to include the description of the property exactly how it appears on the existing deed and compare it for accuracy. Then you'd sign the new deed. And once you did, you would have to record that deed in your county records office or land records office in the county the property is located in. And until it's filed, it's not in force. But once it is, then basically at your death, the property would pass outside of probate directly to your beneficiary or beneficiaries. The other approach is to set up a trust, which is going to be a little bit more costly, could be $1,500, $2,000. But this would be a revocable trust. You could retitle the home in the name of the trust. The benefit there is that the home would pass again outside of probate, but the trustee could handle the distribution of the home, if you're incapacitated or even beyond your death based on certain triggering events. For instance, if it was going to a minor and you wanted that to happen down the road based on certain qualifying events, age or, level of maturity, in handling financial affairs, or if you had a lifelong dependent and you wanted the home sold and then the proceeds distributed over time. I mean, all of those things could be done through a revocable trust. But if it's really just about the efficient transfer of the property outside of probate, that's where the TOD will be the most cost-effective and efficient way to go. I've thrown a lot at you there, CJ. Give me your thoughts.
Well, just one question. As I was looking into this, I did not see any kind of a formal form.
Okay.
I saw some sample forms and so forth that almost sounded like you could write up your own if you had all of these different specifics in it. Who would I ask or find out if there is a formal document to complete?
Yeah. I believe Texas is one that's adopted the Uniform Real Property Transfer on Death Act. So basically, it's a model that a lot of the states use. And basically, you just need to follow the language that's required in that. To be safe on this, you could just reach out to a real estate or estate attorney and just have them advise you. Or you could do a bit more due diligence on it. But as opposed to having a specific form, there's just an act that I just mentioned that really guides the language and the requirements in order to do that effectively.
Right. Okay. And is there any concerns about the Fed now, kicking in?
Yeah.
Like taxes or anything that would I should think about with that?
I'm not concerned about that, and I don't think it has any bearing on this matter. FedNow is only an instant payment program to facilitate business transactions 24/7, including weekends, which is not currently available in our electronic payment systems that are available today. And so that's where FedNow is just creating a bit more efficiency in that. It's not a digital currency. We're years away from a digital currency if that ever makes its way through Congress, which it would have to in divided government. This is a congressional function. So it will have no effect on paying on your mortgage, no effect on taxes. I wouldn't worry about that at all with regard to this issue. I've got to take a quick break. CJ, you and I'll finish up offline and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days we've been banned twice, and is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day, banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Hi, this is Miki Addison. Join me, my husband Will, and our kids for AFA at the Ark. We'll also be joined by Wesley and Walker Wildman and their families as we host a mini conference at the Ark Encounter October 26th and 27th. AFA has reserved a block of rooms at the Marriott Cincinnati Airport Hotel, which will be available at a discounted price. Space is limited. Learn more and register at marriagefamilylife.net. And I hope to see you at the Ark.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Here's Rob West of Faith and Finance, heard here daily on American Family Radio.
We understand how important it is for Christians to leave a legacy that will impact generations to come. One way you can do that is through a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit them online at afafoundation.net.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. You know, just before the break, we were talking to CJ. She mentioned the FedNow program. It's important to recognize, although there's been a lot of talk about central bank digital currencies and the fact that the Fed would, if we had a CBDC, have visibility into all of our transactions, financially speaking, and the ability to even control the use of transactions and commerce based on even social controls. That is not what we're talking about here with FedNow. FedNow is a payment system. It's not required that it be used. It's not going to be behind the scenes working with other payment systems. It's just an alternative payment system that involves the Federal Reserve that creates the ability for 24/7 financial transactions, which are not available today. If you want to make a financial transaction on the weekend, for instance, it will wait until business opens in just about every case until Monday morning. And so FedNow offers 24/7 efficient exchange, even globally, of financial transactions. But you don't have to use it. So it's not the beginning of a central bank digital currency. It doesn't have any connection to a digital currency. Could it be the framework for one down the road? Perhaps, but that's not what this is that's launching July the 1st. And so there's not a reason to be concerned there. If we did have a CBDC, which I am opposed to personally, it would require an act of Congress. There would be much debate on it just because of the loss of privacy, the potential for government interference and oversight beyond what is reasonable. And so there's a lot of folks that are very concerned about that, and we're still a long way off before we would ever see that come to pass. So not the same thing when we talk about the FedNow program that's launching just around the corner. Hopefully that's helpful to you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you today. We've got some lines open, and we're taking your calls and questions on anything financial, whatever you're thinking about today, financially speaking. We'd love to allow you to put it on the table. Let's talk about it and see if we can help you move forward with confidence. Again, 800-525-7000. You know, as we head quickly toward the fall, and I'm not trying to rush summer by, but you know, fall will be here before we know it. And folks are going to be headed off to school, right? I've got a rising freshman in college that's headed off to college for the first time. He's the first of our four that will be leaving the house, and we're still adjusting to that idea as parents, but excited for him as he begins this new season and chapter in his life. But it does cause us to think about how we pay for the rising cost of college, which because of the proliferation of student debt and how easy it is to borrow, which I would significantly warn you about. It has led to college tuition inflation really outpacing all other inflation. And for that reason, it's really critical to save. You know, in terms of a savings vehicle, I talk a lot about 529 education savings plans here. Let me just quickly touch on those. And again, I think the key to saving for college is to start early. And these 529 plans are essentially tax-advantaged accounts that can be used to pay for school expenses, really beginning at kindergarten, but all the way through graduate school. There's two types of 529 plans. There's the prepaid tuition plans, which essentially let you buy tuition credits at a specific public in-state school at current prices. And then there's the educational savings plan, which allows families to put aside money for tuition and free fees at any qualified educational institutions. Some are sold through a broker. Some are invested in directly by the consumer. They're sponsored and run by all 50 states and the District of Columbia. Here's how they work. And by the way, I prefer the educational savings plan as opposed to the prepaid tuition plan. Essentially, you can set up one or more of these accounts for your student. There's only one student beneficiary, though, per account. You invest between now and when your student goes to school or college, buying shares of the plan's investments on a regular, automatic, or systematic basis, or occasionally. You could put in a one-time payment and then do it again a few years later if you wanted to. Family members and friends can contribute to a student's 529, and interestingly, new tax laws allow you to pay $10,000 from a 529 for K-12 educational expenses, which is a helpful benefit. Also, brand new legislation is going to, in the future, allow you to take unused 529 dollars, which has always been a concern, because if you don't use it for qualified educational expenses, there can be penalties in addition to taxes due on the gains. But you can actually get that money out and put it into, with some stipulations, into a Roth IRA for the student. If they don't need the money, don't decide to go to college, something like that. So that is a benefit. But essentially, it acts like a Roth in that that money is going to grow after tax money you're putting in. It's going to grow tax-free so long as it's used for qualified education expenses. So this is tuition, books, some fees, things like that. It won't take a big bite out of your financial aid package either, because it's considered an asset of the parent, not the child, which is really critical with when determining the EFC, the expected family contribution. Now, your state's 529 may not be the very best state for you to participate in. It may, because there may be some in-state tax advantages, particularly related to state income tax, but it's worth taking a look at, because the if your state's 529 has been underperforming with regard to the investments, it may be advisable to go out of state to look at another plan. The top choices this year, according to Investopedia, interestingly, are Ohio, Utah, and Illinois, based on the returns and the investment options and the low fees. So here's what I would do. My favorite website for you to check out to evaluate the best 529 plan for you is savingforcollege.com. That's savingforcollege.com. You can actually run a quick analysis based on the amount you're putting in, the age of your children, and the historical performance of your state's 529, and they will recommend the one that's the best for you. I hope that helps. All right, a quick break, and then back with your calls. We've got some folks holding patiently. We'll get to those just around the corner. Stay with us.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind, and the loss is overwhelming. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. But there is hope and healing from an abortion. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. 866-482-LIFE.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
When we follow Jesus, the things of this world grow strangely dim. We focus less on ourselves and more on God's kingdom. In Michael Blue's book, Free to Follow, we're reminded to surrender everything to Jesus and follow Him. Free to Follow explores what the Bible says about money and possessions and challenges you to rethink the way you view and use them. Request a copy of Free to Follow with your gift of any amount to faithfi.com/follow.
Hi, this is Todd Nettleton with the Voice of the Martyrs Radio, inviting you to join us Friday, July 14th for the Hearts of Fire virtual event. You'll meet four courageous women who showed incredible commitment to Christ in the face of intense persecution. This special event is free. Hear these inspiring testimonies of costly faith, plus worship led by Michael W. Smith. You can watch from wherever you are. Register online at heartsevent.com.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, and we've got two lines open today, 800-525-7000. We're taking your calls and questions on anything financial. Let's head right back to the phones to a first-time caller in Missouri. Ben, you go right ahead.
Hi, thanks, Rob. I appreciate your doing the show, and I listen to it every day I can.
Thank you, sir.
What it is, I've got probably about $3,500 in credit card debt. Two truck payments and, a few other things. But I had gone out 3 months ago because I had some health problems and stuff and an emergency surgery. And then I've come back in 2 weeks, and now I've got some more issues coming up that I may end up losing a couple of toes over. But I'm getting behind with those credit cards. And, the truck payments and stuff like that. And I'm just kind of trying to figure out what my best options would be to try to save what I can or.
Well, Ben, I'm so sorry to hear about your health challenges. I would do a couple of things. Number one is I would contact your credit card company or companies and explain your situation. They may be able to give you an extended grace period to preserve your credit score. That's not the primary concern right now, but if it was a concern, that would allow you to avoid, hopefully, a lot of additional fees just based on this being a hardship situation. So I think reaching out to them, being proactive as opposed to just kind of shrinking back and hiding and hope they leave you alone is always a better option. You could also contact our friends at Christian Credit Counselors for help with the debt. If you have the ability to continue to pay, they can put you on a debt management program that will get your interest rates lowered, and you'd have one monthly payment, and the lower interest rate and that lower monthly payment would allow you to pay this off on average about 80% faster. And so, but obviously that's going to require you being in work and having some income so you can stay current on that payment. If you're unable to do that because you're going to be out of work for an extended period of time, that's where I think just contacting your companies directly, explaining what's going on and see if they're willing to work with you would be key. Let me just encourage you not to put medical debt on your credit card. I would just negotiate with your medical providers to get on a payment plan. At some point down the road, if it had to become past due, you could ask for a lump sum settlement to pay it off, once you've gotten back on your feet. But I think just open and honest communication with the willingness to show them details on kind of what's going on in your financial life, given your medical situation, is really the key at this point as you try to navigate through this. What do you think, just based on what you know today, your ability to work looks like moving forward?
Well, I, like I said, I'm back at work. You know, I've been off 3 months from that surgery. I'm back at work. I'm able to work, but I've got an infection in both toes, and it's in the bone. So they probably end up taking them off. So that's probably going to put me out for another month or two, maybe even three. But that's where that is. I've been able to keep the minimum payments up on those cards. So I'm technically I'm not behind on anything yet, except for one, I think. And that's a small amount. So.
Yeah, very good. Well, I think that's the key is, you know, as much as we don't want to pay the minimums on these credit cards, we want to, you know, only use them for budgeted items and get them paid off every month. And then we want to have an emergency fund for the unexpected of 3 to 6 months expenses so we can weather a storm like this. If you don't find yourself in that position, and I understand that life happens and perhaps, you know, you weren't as prepared as you'd like to have been for a season like this, then this is the situation we can find ourselves in where you're using credit cards to kind of float yourself and then you're just having to tread water because you're out of work and you just don't have the income. And I understand. So I think the key is, you know, if you think you can maintain at least the minimum payments, I would look at pivoting to a debt management program. Just contact our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Hopefully, you know, if you're able to continue to work or even if you take a brief time off and then you're back to work, hopefully you are in such a situation where you can limit your lifestyle and have some margin beyond the minimum payment to accelerate the payoff on this. But using the debt management program with the lower interest rates will certainly make that a little easier to do, and you'll pay it off quicker with less interest expense. So I would reach out to ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Don't hesitate to reach out to your creditors if you need to and you're just simply unable to pay anything. And we'll ask our faith and finance community to be praying for you, Ben, as you navigate these medical challenges. I'm really sorry to hear about your situation. God bless you, sir, and thanks for calling today. To Texas, John, you'll be our next caller. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for your ministry to us all. I'm a first-time caller.
Great. Delighted to have you on.
Well, we have a 28-year-old son that's now had a one-year-old. They live in an apartment, and we don't want them to live in an apartment. My wife and I are both retired. Okay. We own our home free and clear. We want to figure out a way to use our equity to establish them in a residence of their own. I don't really know the best way to approach that.
Yeah. So you mentioned using your equity. I mean, that would require you to take a loan against the property, which I'm not excited about you doing. Are there any other alternatives where you all could help them just either out of current cash flow or there are other assets that don't require you taking on debt in this season to be able to do that?
Well, we have an $80,000 lump sum coming from my wife's retirement. And we were going to remodel our house with that, but perhaps our priorities may have changed. You know, we could put $30,000 of that, I would imagine, on as a down payment. But I just wanted to hear somebody else talk about it.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your desire to help your kids out here, and you want to get your son out of that apartment and into a house. It's a challenging time to do that just because of where housing prices are, and he doesn't have a property to sell. So he's kind of entering this housing market at a point where, you know, prices are sky high. And in terms of the affordability of homes right now with mortgage interest rates where they are, that just creates an additional challenge there as well. But I also understand you guys want to be able to bless him with this. And if you feel like you can do it financially and you're willing to sacrifice to do that, then that's great. You know, I think the key is making sure that you are reinforcing the right behaviors in doing this. So, you know, for instance, he's been in an apartment. You know, is he living on a budget? Is he diligent in saving? Is there anything you'd like to do to try to reinforce the right behavior? So, for instance, maybe it's as opposed to getting him out immediately, we get him on a track where you're getting him out over the next couple of years and you're willing to match every dollar he puts into savings. Or, you know, you know, I think you need to just think about kind of his own spiritual and financial maturity and make sure you're not in any way short-circuiting the process. But if you feel good about that, you've really thought and prayed through it, and he's demonstrated himself to be responsible financially, and this is just something you want to bless him with, then I think it's just a matter of saying, okay, are we in a financial position to do that? And if we are, then what's the most cost-effective way to do it? And if you can do it without borrowing by taking this lump sum and you guys are willing to delay or kind of curb back your desires on this remodel, well, then that would be wonderful. And maybe he pays you that back or you just consider it a gift. In either case, I think approaching that pot of money as opposed to taking on a new loan is the best option. Stay on the line. We'll talk a bit more.
I love AFR. You say it's on the radio, too?
Here at American Family Radio, we know that many people find their audio entertainment in other places than the radio. So our programming is available with the AFR app on Apple and Android devices, through Amazon Alexa, and now available on Roku.
I just love the podcasts.
That, too. American Family Radio, streaming or podcast, now available wherever you are. And we're on the radio.
Abraham Hamilton III.
God put us in this world at this time to be salt and light. We don't fool because of the darkness that we're facing. This is not the first time in the world's history that it's gotten dark. God has called you and I to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment.
Tune in to the Hamilton Quarter, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on Urban Family Talk.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions, 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. Before we head back to the phones, it's Monday, which means our good friend Bob Dahl stops by. Bob is Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, where investments and values intersect. And he joins us each Monday with his market commentary and outlook. Bob, top of the week to you, sir. Good to have you.
The same to you, my friend.
Bob, boy, a lot going on, I'll tell you, between the markets, the rally, the Fed pause, the market's response to that, and everything in between. Where do you want to start today?
Boy, great question. It's nice and quiet today with the market closed. Maybe we start there because there's a chance to kind of sort things out. You're right. The rally, which has been going on for a while now, has been impressive. You'll recall we were stuck between 3,800, 4,200 on the S&P 500 for literally almost a year, Rob.
Yeah.
And then in the last couple of weeks, we've broken out. Now we're 4,400. Despite the news still being mixed, you know, the economy is okay, but there's signs that they're weakening. Yeah. Our earnings expectations continue to be lackluster. The Fed's realizing that their fight on inflation is not over. So there are a lot of cross currents here, but the market seems to think all news is good news.
Apparently. Can we read this market action to indicate that investors really are convinced that the central bank is about done with hikes and, in fact, rate cuts are just around the corner?
It would seem so, although if you look at the inflation numbers, they're down, but in the last 6 months, they've only come down a bit. They've got a long way to go to get to the Fed's target of 2. And Chair Powell, in his testimony after they paused this last meeting, went out of his way to say, we're not done. We got a lot more work to do, but the market seems to be ignoring that. The cuts that the market has been anticipating into next year, I think, are very questionable.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Bob, as we just look at the health of the U.S. economy, obviously the jobs market is key, the health of our employment here in this country. I know we got some data recently. What did you make of that?
Yeah, jobless claims, which, as you know, come out every week. Week before last, they moved up a noticeable notch, and we're at that same higher level in last week's report. All that tells us that there is some slowing in the labor markets. They're still strong, unemployment still low, no question about it, Rob. But the really good news in the labor market seems to be increasingly in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, very good. Bob, we've talked extensively just about how narrow these rallies have been leading up to this point. Has the recent market action indicated that we're seeing this with more breadth?
I'm glad you brought that subject up. There is no question the market has broadened out, but I'm going to underline the word some. It's still not convincing. It's better than getting narrower, no question about that. But relative to history, the market is still very narrow, as represented by the percentage of stocks that are going up, the percentage of stocks that are up year to date. That the average stock this year is so far behind the market, the average stock up 3 or 4%, the S&P 500 up 14 or 15%. That's a dichotomy that's going to take a lot of work to correct.
Yeah, and I guess that puts you in a challenging spot, because I assume you would agree that stocks are expensive here, just given everything we have potentially coming down the pike. And so you've got to be really picky about the stocks you're investing in, huh?
You do. You have to be very picky and or believe that inflation is going to continue to come down a fair amount. I mean, the price earnings ratio on the U.S. stock market is now 22 times earnings. It's only sold there twice in modern history, at the tech bubble and in the pandemic, as earnings estimates were coming down. So I don't want to hang my hat on that one either, Rob. I don't want to sound overly pessimistic, but I hope my caution's coming through.
Yeah, no question about it. Well, Bob, appreciate you checking in, my friend. Always insightful to hear what you're thinking about as we watch this market and the economy. We'll have you back next week and look forward to it.
Have a great week.
All right. That's Bob Dahl, Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. He joins us each Monday with his market analysis. By the way, if you'd like to check out his weekly market commentary and sign up to have it delivered to your inbox free of charge, you can do that at crossmarkglobal.com. It's called The Dahl's Deliberations. All right, back to the phones as we round out our final segment here of the broadcast today with your calls and questions at 800-525-7000 to Michigan. Hi, Adam. Thanks for your patience. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm trying to figure out a company. I know they exist. I've heard you mention a few of them, but I just can't recall their names. But they asset management companies for retirement that are Christian-based.
Yes. So you may be thinking of LightPoint Portfolios. So they're a faith-based investing solution specifically for retirement plans. And I think that may give you what you're looking for. It could offer you a 401k or a 403b option to make available through your work, but specifically with faith-based portfolios inside it.
Okay. All righty. What was that name again?
Yep. It's LightPoint Portfolios, and you'll find them on the web at LightPointPortfoliosolutions.com. LightPointPortfoliosolutions.com.
Alrighty, thank you.
All right. We appreciate your call, Adam. God bless you, my friend. 800-525-7000. We may have room for one or two more questions today. If you have a financial question you've been considering, you know, as we round out the broadcast today, let me make a comment or two about this topic that we tackle here on this program each day, and that is the idea of handling money God's way. You know, as we recognize our role as stewards, we want to look to Scripture to take our cues for how we should manage God's money. And we need to recognize there's a pretty significant dichotomy between the world's way and God's way when it comes to handling money. And there are many benefits to handling money God's way. Our first and foremost benefit, I think, as I've really thought and prayed and counseled folks around these ideas for a long time, is handling money God's way ultimately leads to a deeper relationship with the Lord. You see, folks, following biblical principles in your financial choices means you're listening closely to what God wants for you. You're reading His Word. You're trusting Christ to lead you. When you invite God into this important area of your life, I think you'll begin to understand what 1 Timothy 6 refers to as godliness with contentment is great gain. And we realize there's great gain in a deeper relationship being fostered with the Lord through our money management. You know, another benefit that comes with choosing God's way for your finances, I believe, is peace. The more you know God's heart about money and possessions, the more your actions and your attitudes can begin to line up with His truth. And when your financial choices are made in Christ, the result is peace because God is in control. Now, let me take you to Romans 8:6. It says, "The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace." While worldly desires and attitudes will lead people astray, pursuing God's way in your financial life can really ultimately bring spiritual growth. As you grow in godly wisdom, you'll understand that money is a tool to accomplish God's purposes. 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3 gives us this advice. Let me read it for you. It says, "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." So it will lead to spiritual growth in addition to peace and, of course, a deeper relationship with the Lord. But a fourth benefit to handling money God's way is the blessing of generosity. You see, our God is the ultimate giver, and giving is definitely part of God's plan for the Christian life. You see, when we give willingly and generously, we're acknowledging God's lordship over everything. We're driving a stake in the ground and saying, "God, it all belongs to you, and I want to give as an act of worship." 1 Chronicles 29:14 says it this way, "For everything is from you, and we only give you what we have received from you." And so again, we're returning to God a portion of what He's entrusted to us. It's not that 10% is God's and 90% is ours. No, 100% is His. Our giving just allows us to acknowledge that by holding it loosely and giving it back to Him. And Jesus Himself confirms the blessings of generosity when He said in Luke 6:38, "Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back." Now, take note here that whatever you get back from your giving isn't just for you to accumulate, but for you to continue giving. So, what do your actions and attitudes about money reveal about you? If you're sold out to Jesus, following the Lord with all your heart, well, it's going to show in your financial choices. You can make your financial decisions according to God's principles, or you can choose to make them according to secular worldly ideas. I've only mentioned a few of the benefits of following God's principles here. There's a lot more, and you can read all about them in God's Word, the Bible. So take some time to dig into Scripture today and discover what riches of wisdom He has in store for you. I hope that's an encouragement to you. Thanks for being along with us today on the broadcast. We're grateful for the time you've spent with us. Hope you have a great rest of your day and come back and join us tomorrow. Let me say thanks to my amazing team. I couldn't do it without them. We're grateful for Adam and Robert and Jim. and all the folks that make this daily broadcast of faith and finance possible here on American Family Radio. Go out and live for Jesus and let us know how we can serve you. You can check out more on this ministry at faithfi.com. We'll see you tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.